Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
This hour on the programme, continuing our coverage in the build-up to this year's House of Keys general election, we're joined by another of those intending to stand. Today's election 2016 candidate interview is with 50-year-old Tim Baker, who will be standing in the newly merged constituency of Ayr and Michael. Good afternoon, Tim, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Stu. Thank you very much.
Let's start off. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
OK, as you say, I'm 50 years of age, live in the constituency in Glen Aldin, married with two teenage daughters, brought up on the island in Ballasalla. Went away to Cambridge University to study economics and spent 25 years in the UK, came back 7 years ago and really glad to be back on the island. And
what made you come back?
Job. I was appointed as the group finance director of a company at Snugborough, DLP, and that brought me back to the island.
Yeah, okay. So your background then is in finance, accountancy, things like that?
Yeah, I'm a qualified chartered accountant, qualified in 1990, so long time ago now.
So you know how to read a balance sheet or the pink book or whatever?
Absolutely, and also my degree is economics as well, so I think the combination of those two are both very, very relevant for the Alaman.
I would have thought so. Yeah. Now, you say that the island needs a willingness to embrace a fresh approach. After 1,000 years of continuous government, that's a little bit presumptuous, isn't it? What should that fresh approach entail?
I think the fresh approach needs to involve the people of the Alaman really all coming together and harnessing the... There's a huge amount of talent on this island, huge amount of commitment and ideas, and I don't think we're getting that out of the Alaman as a whole at the moment. I think government has become... a little bit fractious, lots of U-turns and decisions being made and then unmade, and there's just too much negativity around that. I think that's where the change and the progress needs to come. And you know, I'm a great believer that you've got to get the talents available to you and you combine it and use it.
Yeah. Well, you say that people are a bit fractious. Do you think that's because people are generally a bit disenfranchised by politics in the Isle of Man?
I think so. I think, you know, there's some behaviours that perhaps don't really do credit to the people that are behaving in that way.
Yeah.
And I think people are frustrated. I mean, clearly, everybody's found the last few years, not just in the Isle of Man, I mean, it's a worldwide thing. It's been a tough few years, and I think part of that comes across in people's frustration. And you know, when they're going through tough times, financial positions deteriorating, you know, find it harder to make ends meet week after week, and they're seeing other people perhaps not maybe contributing or doing things that don't seem to be going anywhere, or we're no further forward in certain issues than we were 2 or 3 years ago, despite lots of talking. I think that's just frustrating for people.
Do you think that Tim Walden, the House of Keys, is just a glorified talking shop where they discuss things, debate things to bits, throw things out to the long grass, come back to them a couple of years later, but things aren't actually being done? There's not much executive action taking place.
I think that the talking doesn't translate into action in as quick and in such a focused way as it needs to do. I don't think it's deliberate, but I just think it's quite siloed. The departmental structure makes that more difficult. And I think ultimately it comes down to leadership, direction, and vision, and that has to come from the top. But it needs to be shared. And people need to buy in to a way of working that's a lot more constructive.
Well, the Chief Minister has been talking about the silo mentality within government for years now, but I don't know whether or not he's done anything about it, apart from talk to the Council of Ministers about it.
Well, I think it's difficult for one man to bring vast change, no matter how important and how committed he is. You need to embed that into the organisation. You know, government in its broadest sense, and by that I include, you know, the other elements of government, commissioners, Douglas Corporation, etc. It's a huge beast, and like any other big organisation, it takes an awful long time to actually turn it around, and a real commitment to change, to actually move it forward.
You say that you'd like members of the public to be more involved, you'd like the public generally to everybody singing on the same hymn sheet, everybody doing their bit for the Isle of Man. Now, you'll have been on the doorstep, so I expect that you're more aware of people's political thoughts than you were before. I would suggest to you that probably 90% of the people, though, have got absolutely no interest at all in politics.
Wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think that it depends what you mean by politics. I mean, the word can turn people off, but I think when you talk to people and you know, everybody's interested in having a good health service, having good education for the kids, having a community that's safe and it's a place that people enjoy being, that the standard of housing is correct and that there's a fairness around society. So when you break it down to things that mean something to people's daily lives, I think everybody's interested in that.
All right. You say that the island needs clear and confident leadership. Yeah. Do you feel that that's been lacking?
I think it hasn't been translated into what people have actually seen. So I think we've seen a lot of decisions made and then unmade, and we're going one way and then we're going another way.
Yeah, but isn't that as a result of public consultation on things? So, for example, looking at Douglas Promenade, government came up with a plan and everybody was on board with it, except the people of Douglas, who were then asked for their view. So then there was a U-turn and, you know, it's just gone on and on and on ever since then. So isn't that the problem with democracy, that when you do ask the people, you get so many different views that you can't actually make a way forward?
Well, I think you have to ask the people in the right manner and at the right time. So in reality, what I think the perception was that the decision had been made and then it was put out to the people as almost as a rubber stamping exercise.
Yeah.
And quite rightly, people have got views. I mean, you know, the level of expertise and insight that people have is definitely something that needs to be embraced in these sort of decision-making processes, but it needs to be done at the right sort of time, so that, you know, when it actually comes to this is the decision that we're making, everybody's on board with it and it can then go and be implemented, which is, you know, how you'd want to do it in a business context, that you have your debate and then you shape your decision and then you get on and do it. And I think the process is just been quite dysfunctional at times.
How much of that is transferable, though? Because we can see that you've got financial management skills, yep, and business leadership experience, but government isn't a business. So isn't a completely different approach needed for political leadership and for politics in general, which can be a rough game?
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I think there are things that you can take from the business environment and apply them into the political environment, but it is different and you have to recognise that. You can't just come in and act as if it was a business. So, for example, on government staffing levels, if the previous administration had taken an axe to the number of people in the civil service, that would have had a massive economic effect on the Isle of Man. It would have, because it's reducing its own demand and effectively creates a problem that keeps growing. So, whereas in a business, you could actually just right-size the business and then move on. So you've got to be discerning about how you tackle it and reflect the fact that it's a much bigger entity that you work with.
Well, and the other thing is that it's a democracy and businesses aren't a democracy. Mm. You know, far from it. There's a very clear line of command in a business, which you don't really get in politics, especially with say, Tynwald or the House of Keys, where everybody's got an equal vote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you actually get things done within that kind of a scenario?
Well, I think the key thing is that the members of Tynwald and the House of Keys have to work together to a greater extent and recognise that actually the job is to lead the Isle of Man forward.
But how would you do that? Because, you know, you're representing the people of Michael, for example, as far as some local issue is concerned, and the people of Douglas then wouldn't want any money to be spent in Michael because they want the money to be spent in Douglas instead. So, you know, you're going to be faced with that kind of competition for funding, especially as times are getting tight. How do you look at the global issues of what the Isle of Man needs rather than local issues?
Well, I think you've got to be prepared to step out from your self-interest and actually look at the bigger picture. And I mean, clearly, you know, the whole population of the Isle of Man needs to be represented by the government, and the decisions can't all be made just for one part of the
No, but it's island. Let's face it, Western democracy is a beauty contest and you're relying on the people to vote you back in 5 years if you get in this time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you voted for, you know, £10 million scheme to go to Douglas rather than Michael because it was best for the Isle of Man, you could lose your job. Would you still vote for that £10 million to go to Douglas because it was the right thing to do?
I think if it's the right thing for the Isle of Man, you've got to really be strong and actually be prepared to stand up and be counted. Mm. And I think if everybody takes the same approach, the right things will get backed. If it becomes a very narrow discussion about, well, you know, Michael versus Peel or whatever, I just think we all lose. And I think by having more of a collaborative working together, sometimes it's right to invest the money in the South of the Island the North of the Island, sure, the East, the West. You need a balance over time that works.
And what about communicating things with the electorate? Mm-hmm. Do you think that the politicians do that well enough at the moment? Do you think that that's part of the answer to a new way of doing politics in the island?
I think you've got to always be looking at what you're doing and say how can you do it better? Because in reality, if you're standing still, you're really going backwards. There's so many things becoming available to people, you know, new technologies, new applications, new ways of meeting, that you've got to be continually saying, am I still doing this in the best possible way?
So you'd be happy to be up at midnight answering questions on your Facebook page, for example, about constituency issues?
Well, if that's what it takes, yeah. I mean, you've got to, if you're going to undo the job, you've got to do it 100%. You've got to be committed to doing it, and you've got to make yourself successful in doing the role.
Would you be a full-time MHK?
I would, yeah.
You say that government should have a can-do approach. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it doesn't at the moment?
At the moment, I think that collectively, the government machine is not sufficiently quick-moving, and I think that, like any big organisation, it's difficult to make it agile, but that's actually what's needed. I'm absolutely convinced there's really good people who are frustrated within the government machine, and you've got to find ways of allowing them to put their contribution in the most effective way possible.
But surely, as a new MHK, again, if you're elected, mm-hmm. That's something that you wouldn't have any input into. You wouldn't be able to go into departments and decide who's good and who's bad.
No, not that micro level management of the departments. But you can change the way things are done within your own influence. And we're on a journey. We are where we are now. You know, there's a lot of looking back and talking about things that have happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. We can't change those things. We've got to move forward. The starting point is to recognise where you are, and then to start on that journey. And you're absolutely right, Stu. If I was elected by the people of Aaron Michael, I'd be one of probably quite a few inexperienced people in that government. But I would have 25 years plus of business experience.
Yeah.
I'd have the experience that I've had from living on the Isle of Man, both as a young person and coming back 7 years ago. I'd bring everything that I've accumulated in my 50 years of life, and that'd be available to try and help in whatever role I was asked to do.
I really enjoy talking to prospective candidates, people who would like to get involved in politics, because I think it takes a lot to actually stand up in front of your peers and say, you know, I could be your man for this. The worry that I've got, though, is that I think that the majority of people who stand for MHK have got the best interests mm-hmm. of the Isle of Man and their constituency at heart. And I think they've got big ideas, a lot of people, about yep. what they can do. I just worry that once they become part of the machine of government, all that's knocked out of them, and they realise that actually there's not an awful lot that you can do apart from nod stuff through and, you know, have the occasional say in a debate so that people don't forget who you are.
That's an interesting point. I mean, one of the comments that people made to me when I was discussing whether I should stand or not was they thought that it could be quite a frustrating experience, and my attitude to it was, well, what's the worst that can happen if I stand and get elected is that I can't make any difference, which is absolutely equivalent to the best that can happen if I don't stand. So
okay.
Time will tell. If the first thing is, do the people of Aaron Michael wish me to be their representative? If the answer to that is yes, then I will go into the role and do the best job I possibly can in the circumstances, and I'll bring a transparency and an honesty to it. And if I don't get much done, then I'd expect to you know, perhaps not get in next time.
All right. You say that to succeed, the island needs to control public spending.
It does, yeah.
That obviously includes pension,
yep.
The public sector pension mm-hmm. Black hole. How can the island control public spending? Because there are all sorts of demands. All sorts of frontline services are being cut or pulled back. You know, so how much more can public spending be controlled without actually raising income?
Well, you've got to make the organisation as efficient as it possibly can, and then you've got to actually look at the services that it's providing and sort of say, does government need to do this? And if it does, it needs to get on and deliver it in the optimal way. If it doesn't need to do it, then, you know, can it be delivered in a different way? Whether that's using the third sector, whether it's using things like housing associations or trusts, which are very common in other parts of the British Isles. The other thing is you've got to make sure that where you are spending money, it actually really is hitting the mark. So, you know, means testing is something that I think, you know, we have to embrace that. We have to make sure there's no point giving somebody some money if they don't need it, as long as the cost of actually doing the means testing isn't greater than the benefits that you save by.
But again, with means testing, and this is something I mentioned before talking to candidates, you know, if you've got somebody who's lived a very frugal life, they've saved a few quid, they've put a few quid aside for a rainy day, that rainy day happens, and they are then means tested on whether or not they're going to get any help. And it's a case of, no, you've got a couple of grand in the bank, you can't have any money. Why should that happen when somebody else who's, you know, spent the last 20 years down the boozer get government help? You know, surely that's unfair, isn't it?
Well, I can see absolutely where people are coming from on that sort of thing, and you know, the issue around people in their old age needing nursing homes, for instance, is a great example of that. And I know it does raise people's blood pressure to a great extent. There's no easy answer, Stu, and you know, if you turn it around the other way and sort of say to somebody who's got £5 million in the bank, yeah, we'll pay your nursing home costs, that doesn't actually work either. So at the end of the day, there's a balance to be had, and I think we need to be.
So it's a matter of degree more than anything.
Absolutely.
All right. You say that the island needs to avoid depopulation. Do you think that's a real risk at the moment?
Well, anecdotally, there seems to be a number of people leaving the island. We've seen offices relocating. There's been announcements around redundancies in you know, certainly in some parts of the finance sector. I mean, I know personally people that are, for whatever reason, are leaving the island, and I think we've got to make sure that the Isle of Man remains a very vibrant and attractive place. Now, part of that is about making it attractive for our young people to either stay on the island or come back after university education, or indeed, as I did, come back with a family and come back to the island and get involved there.
But aren't a lot of those things outside the island's control?
There are a lot of things that are outside the island's control, but you've got to recognise what is within your own control and try and play your hand accordingly. I mean, I think some smarter thinking in certain areas will actually pay dividends on the island. So yes, there's no point trying to control something that you can't, but equally recognise what you can control and try and at least influence it.
You say that the government and the civil service need to be unified with a clear sense of purpose. How can you do that? You know, I sometimes get the impression that the two bodies are working against each other rather than together.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? And, you know, they really need to come together and to be consistent and both making a contribution that, at the end of the day, they're both there to serve the people of the Isle of Man, and they're a big resource, they're an expensive resource, and it's down to leadership and direction. It always is, whether it's in sport, whether it's in business, whether it's in politics, it's leadership and direction that's needed, and the attention to detail to drive through the changes and progress that are necessary.
You'd like to see fast broadband coverage improved in rural areas, I'm guessing, including in your patch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd like to see a wildlife park full of unicorns, but isn't it down to the broadband providers to do that? Is that anything that government can influence?
Well, of course, government can influence it because government's got relationships with the key providers on the island, and it needs to be talking to them and at least saying, okay, in an ideal world we would have fast broadband everywhere because it supports businesses, it supports the way people live their lives nowadays. What can we do to make this happen? And it might be that those providers say, well, actually the only way it can happen is if you put this sort of investment in. It may be that that's not actually financially feasible, but at least the question's been asked. I don't believe in just accepting the status quo and saying, no, there's nothing can be done about it. I'd rather at least have a conversation that says, can we do anything about it?
Yeah.
If so, what can we do? What's the price tag? Can we afford it? Yes or no? And if we can, let's move on with it.
And if not, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And at least then you've turned the stone over, had a look, and you put it back. And
do you think that there's a lot of that needs to happen over the next 5 years? A lot of stones need to be turned over and, you know, poked out with a stick to find out what's gone wrong or what could be done better?
Yeah, or even just to check that we're doing the best that we can be doing. So, you know, one example that was thrown at me on Saturday was around the tax cap and the high net worth individuals. You know, we should be capable of having an honest review to say, is this working for us, yes or no? And if it is, great, let's be upfront about it and say, this is working because they're contributing through their spending power. And
that is Treasury's position on it. I mean, they've said that as far as I think Eddie Tier said, as far as he's concerned, it's working, bringing in millions of pounds a year and not effectively costing anything in terms of public services or anything else.
But people have to know that and accept it, because there's a fairness issue. You know, one of the things that was thrown at me as well was around the planning arrangements, where the perception, certainly in parts of the North of the Island, are that, you know, certain people, perhaps with higher incomes, find it easier to get permission for things that they want to happen, and that the ordinary man on the farm or man in the street has to jump through a whole lot of hoops and maybe can't get what they want to happen. And actually, you know, is that fair? Is it just? We have to have a society that works for across the piece, and you know, whether that's tax, whether that's planning. I think if people can check that it is actually working out fairly and everybody's benefiting from some of these policies, then that's great. But if there's an unfairness, I mean, there's a vast range of income and wealth on this island, and I think people just want to make sure that they're not bearing the burden and other people are getting off scot-free.
I don't dispute anything that you're saying on that, but isn't it pie-in-the-sky thinking? Isn't it a case that, for example, as far as the law is concerned, you know, the law tends to favour those with the deepest pockets? Or that's the perception of it. You know, people that can afford the best lawyers tend to get their own way more than people who can't. So isn't that just the way of the world?
Well, it may be the way of the world, but, you know, going back 200 years ago, it was the way of the world was that kids went up chimneys and, you know,
good use of them as well. Let's move to a constituency issue then, because I know that, again, on your manor, coastal erosion is a big issue, isn't it? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, clearly, the first thing is to recognise it is a big issue, and it's a big issue affecting the whole of the constituency, not just the Michael area, but certainly on the east coast around Bride. That's a key concern as well. And I think, you know, we've got to recognise that it's an issue that's real for people. If your house is becoming 10 yards closer to the sea every year, you know, it's not going to take too long before it becomes a major problem.
But do you think an awful lot of money ought to be spent to try and stave it off, or is it a case of it's cheaper to just let the occasional house fall over the cliff?
Well, I think you need to have a considered management approach to it, and it may be. I mean, clearly we haven't got a bottomless pit of money in any area of the business, of the government, so you can't be all things to all men, and it may be that there's some difficult trade-offs. I mean, it's the same in the health service, isn't it? You know, you can't necessarily have everything here that you would like to have in the perfect world.
Okay.
So you have to make trade-offs, and that's the art of government. But I think what people have to be confident with is that things like that are properly considered and evaluated, and not that the money's going and being spent somewhere else in a frivolous way just because the money happened to be in somebody's budget and they had to spend it before the end of the financial year. I mean, that's the sort of behaviour that does government no credit whatsoever.
In terms of the public sector workforce, do you think it should be reduced? And if so, how?
Well, I think we have got a large public sector workforce, and we need to make sure that those people are working as efficiently as possible and adding as much value to the island as a whole. So most organisations, whether it be businesses or whether it be local authorities, government in the UK have seen slimming down exercises having gone on over the last 20 or 30 years. I think the difference is on the Isle of Man, we've been relatively insulated from that, and I think we've probably now reaping the rewards of that. And,
yeah.
And I think the reality is there's always ways of improving what you do, and that may need less people. But
has that been the problem over the last 20 years in the Isle of Man, as far as politicians are concerned, in that if there's a problem, there's been money there to solve it?
I think that's been part of it, and I think also the difficult decisions haven't been necessarily grasped. And, you know, the issues the Isle of Man's dealing with are no different from those that other jurisdictions have had to deal with, and you've got to actually man up and get on with it, to be honest, and have some honesty about things need to change and move forward.
All right, we're coming to the end of the interview, but explain to the people of Eyre and Michael why they should vote for Tim Baker at the election.
Okay, I believe that I'm the best blend of both somebody who was brought up on the Isle of Man and got a heart for the island, but yet has been away for 25 years and got the experience of living and working in the UK. And I think I've got the freshness of approach that I think will help both the constituency and the Isle of Man as a whole to move forward.
Candidate for Aaron Michael, Tim Baker, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.